KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight with Fresno State's Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Dr. Frank Lummis, and Fresno State Student Special Guests, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Dr. Frank Lummis. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm excited to have three Fresno State guests with me today, my colleagues Ken Terranati, Lauren Welsh, and student coordinator and former orientation leader Alex Andrade. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk about a very exciting tradition we have for our new students, Dog Days, which is our new student orientation at Fresno State. So tell me, what are Dog Days at Fresno State?
Really, Dog Days are the new student orientation that we do for all the incoming students. We're mandatory now for all students, freshmen who are coming directly from high school, transfer students who are coming from a community college or another four-year university. Our purpose here is to make sure that as they're coming in, that we ease that transition for them that first semester. We know that first semester is always the hardest, challenging with class registration and that type of thing. We want to make sure that we connect them with the campus, help them register for the classes so that their first semester and their first year are really successful here at the university.
So you're both working with new students coming from high school and also transfer students coming from our community colleges, correct?
That's correct. We service all the incoming students and then all of the special populations as well, international students, the Honors College, scholarship athletes, camp students, all of them attend some type of Dog Days experience.
So every new student will come through this program and get to know what it's like to be a Bulldog here at Fresno State. So tell me a little bit about the history of our Dog Days. What kinds of things have we been doing? How did this all get started? A little bit more about the past before we get to the future.
Dog Days started in 2002 in its current form in the University Advising Center. Previously, it was within outreach and it was called Advising Days. And back then, it was more focused on the tour and kind of just getting to know the university, kind of what we do now at Preview Day. Once it came over to the University Advising Center, it became more academic-based, getting them major advising, registering for classes, that kind of thing. And over the years, we've really adapted the program to make sure that we can really service the students. Before freshmen and transfer students, they could come to whatever they wanted. So they all came together and it provided some challenges getting to each of those populations. So one of the main things is we split the freshman and transfer orientations. We started assigning the students orientation leaders so that the students had a face to connect to Fresno State. It wasn't just, oh, I'm coming to Fresno State and I met a whole bunch of people. There was some student leader that they could connect with and would really help them throughout their first semester. So that was really the biggest thing.
That's great. Since you mentioned orientation leaders, and for some people, they may not know what an orientation leader is. And so we have with us, as I mentioned, Alex, who has been an orientation leader and is now our student coordinator. Alex, tell me what the role of an orientation leader is. What is it that you do to help, as Ken said? I mean, I love the fact that we have a program that as students are coming into the university, that we're trying to transition them, help them, you know, navigate the university and get to know who we are. So what is it an orientation leader does?
I think the primary goal of every orientation leader is to create a welcoming environment for the students. A lot of students are going to come to Fresno State, whether they're coming from high school or from a community college, and they can find Fresno State to be maybe overwhelming or it's a large campus. And so they're going to need that connection here at Fresno State. We're going to offer that first impression as orientation leaders. We're going to show you that Fresno State is a campus that is built on caring for our students. We're going to introduce you to resources, counselors, making those connections for you, whether it's with clubs and organizations, special services if you need them. So that's what the orientation leaders are going to do. And then one of our biggest goals is to help you register for classes successfully. I like to tell my orientation groups that the goal is maybe not to have a perfect schedule at the end of orientation, but you're going to know how to use the student portal. And that way you'll be set up for success later on when your orientation leader won't be with you.
So you're really getting them started on those first steps to being a student with us. Now, you may not know this as your Vice President of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, but I was an orientation leader about 100 years ago, not here at Fresno State. But I was an orientation leader and an RA and a few other things. But that was one of the most fun positions that I think I ever did, because I love the exuberance of the new students who are coming to the university and all the possibilities. And, you know, they want to get their class schedule. They wanted to know that they'd made the right decision of coming to this university. But I think one of the things in terms of socialization, they wanted to make sure there were people around them that were like them and that they could be friends with since they were moving from high school from that peer group. Are there some things we do during orientation to kind of connect them to each other in a more fun, social way?
orientation groups generally are assigned by majors. So they're going to be split into groups that are going to be students that they'll be seeing later on in classes. But as far as the social aspect, all orientation groups are going to have some sort of icebreaker. That's really important that we're getting the social engagement going, because students are going to come in, they're nervous, they may not have the opportunity to start a conversation themselves. They may be fearful about doing that. So the orientation leaders, we like to kind of nudge them in that direction. So we're going to do icebreakers. We're going to do our own presentations where we try to get them involved. We're going to make sure that they're seeing a student involvement presentation. So they're getting a lot of information, but then we're also trying to be facilitators in that process so that they can interact with each other. And that's something that we're really highlighting this year with our two-day orientation. And even in our one-day orientation, we've really heard back from our attendees that they want more time to be able to get to know their fellow Bulldogs. So we're going to make a conscious effort to include more of that in our orientation process going forward.
That's great. That's great. I don't know if you've heard me say this, but one of my favorite short sayings is, we want to involve, engage, and give students a sense of belonging. And I think you guys, from the very start with what you're doing with Dog Days, is really that first opportunity for those students to see that involvement and engagement and start to feel that sense of belonging as they transition from whatever their past educational institution was to ours. So before we get to this one-day, two-day orientation, I want to just finish up a little bit with Lauren about transfer orientation. So I know we do transfer orientation in July. I know we start some of orientations as of late May. I mean, we're not even out of graduation. We're already doing orientation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So tell me a little bit about transfer orientation. Do you do anything different there? Why do you do them in July? It's just a little bit of stuff that our audience can better understand.
Absolutely. So the main reason really that the transfer orientations occur in July is to ensure that our colleagues in admissions and records have adequate time to process all of our incoming students' transcripts. It's really important for our transfer students, who many of them may still be in classes during the spring semester. They can submit their transcripts to admissions and records, and then they can make sure that all of those classes and how they're going to articulate and help them towards their degrees here at Fresno State are then properly reflected in their degree progress reports, or DPR. Mm-hmm. So that's really the main reason that transfer students are coming in July, to give them the most accurate information that reflects all of the work that they've already done, so we can set them up for success.
Great, great. And I know that I've heard the term golden four for transfers and how they need to have certain requirements, and we need to verify those requirements, because many of them are finishing up in May from their community college and they're transitioning to us already. So obviously be a little more difficult to get transcripts, evaluate them, and then move on. So that little cushion, I think, is helpful for them and for us in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely want to avoid, if somehow we didn't have their complete academic information, we did have them attending earlier, we wouldn't want to misadvise those students and inform them that, oh, well, you're still missing this one requirement, when in fact their previous work may have already gone towards that.
Okay, great. So I know we've been doing orientation for a long time. Ken has told us he's the veteran of the group here. And we have done a number of different programs. So one exciting one that is being piloted this summer is having not only one-day orientations, but also having a select group come for a two-day orientation. So what does a student expect to get any different between the one-day orientation and a two? Take us through that a little bit.
This year, we're really excited that we're finally able to do the two-day program. In the two-day program, the two goals for us in doing this and piloting this program was, one, to bring more of the engagement back. Alex talked about all the different ways that we're trying to engage students, but really Dog Days is largely academic. So a lot of students, if they have attended multiple orientations or if they've had siblings who've gone to orientations, there tends to be a little bit more rah-rah that you may expect during orientations. And this two-day program allows us more time in the schedule rather than just 8 hours to bring that back. So one of the main things in bringing back the engagement and bringing back the involvement is that during the overnight program, the Office of Student Involvement will be facilitating those events that evening. Mm-hmm. So they'll be helping us with some of the stuff that they typically do in their leadership institute, speed networking, that type of thing. But it will really allow the students who are participating and staying on the overnight to really engage with each other and really get to know their fellow students. In addition, we'll have some free time where the students will be able to utilize all of our wonderful facilities like the USU Recreation Center and go, you know, play pool, bowling, whatever it might be, but to really take it all in and interact with all of the student leaders who will be there for both the speed networking and the orientation staff. The other reason for moving to the two-day, one of the other main reasons, is to give students more time to think about their class schedule. In our current one-day program, we're there for 8 hours. You know, it can be very hot here in Fresno. And by the end of the day, we're asking students to register for classes. Mm-hmm. We already know it's stressful because current students have already registered and there's less classes available. So after an already long day, students tend to get a little frazzled trying to register for classes. So this two-day program allows us to give them an evening to really pre-plan, think about it, process everything they've learned from their advisors. And then the next day, at the end of the next day, which is a half day, they'll register at the end of that half day. So that those students who don't spend the night or just come into the two-day program, they can talk with any of their supporters, mom, dad, brother, sister, whoever it may be, to help plan that class schedule and come back more prepared the next day. For those students who are spending the night with us, they'll have access to all of our staff, the orientation leaders, who will help them plan their schedules that evening in the dorms in the university courtyard, so that the next day that class registration process is really much easier for those students because they've had time to process, they've had time to plan, and really figure out what classes are still available and not available. So those are the two things that we really wanted to do and why we're trying to pilot this two-day program. The other nice thing is that because we have more time, we have an additional 4 or 5 hours with the students program-wise, we could introduce so many more student services. In an eight-hour day, I mean, you can imagine there's a lot of departments, really important programs on campus who don't have the opportunity to talk at dog days because there's just not enough time in the day. We see about 6,000 incoming students, almost 3,000 of their family members and guests. So it's a really great captive audience to start to talk about all these great programs that we're doing. So this two-day program allows us to introduce more of these, and we'll be doing it in kind of a conference-style workshop rotation so that parents, students, family members, supporters will be able to pick and choose what they want to hear about. Do I want to hear more about commuter programs? Do I want to hear more about Gender 101 or safety or the Career Development Center? So it really allows us to involve more people from campus to expose their programs and really give those transitioning students and their family members more resources to help aid them in their first year.
That's great. I love it. So how do I make that choice? So if we have a pilot, how many people will be allowed into the pilot? Is it first come, first serve? How are people being selected?
With the orientation programs, it's always kind of been a first come, first serve. Our system opens mid-March when the university opens accept decline. And so students can go in there, choose whatever day they want to go, whatever day works with their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the two-day programs are actually the first two of 8 freshman dog days. So the first two, if you wanted to go to the first two, it's actually a two-day program. It's a mandatory two-day. Well, really 1.5 because we finished before noon on the second day.
Right.
So those students and every major can choose to go on one of those 2 days. Every major is represented so that if you're English or history or art or whatever it might be, there's a two-day option for you. Now, those students who choose to come on those 2 days, there's actually not an additional cost for the two-day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We built it in so it's the same cost. If you want to come 1 day or 2 day, it's the same.
Right.
Now, for the overnight, because we're piloting it, it was limited to 100 students, and there was an additional cost for the overnight. And
for the residence hall.
Yeah, have to pay for residence halls, dinner, all the staffing, all the materials.
Mm-hmm.
But really, in comparison within the CSU, it was really a nominal fee for our overnight. So the overnight for both days was limited to 100 students, so we have 200 students.
Great.
And we were unsure if we'd fill it, if maybe the amount was a little bit too much, but there was more demand than we anticipated. So hopefully
that's great.
When we get our assessment back after the summer, it can help guide us and, you know, do we expand this? Do we continue? What should we do? Because really we're hoping that this will make that transition so much easier for those students, having more time and more experiences to pull from and make them more excited to start at Fresno State.
Well, that's wonderful. So just so people know, if you come to the 1 day program, how much it costs? And if you come to the day and a half, what's the difference in price?
So for the 1 day program for a freshman transfer student, and even the 2 day program without the overnight, it's $70, which is, I think, we're the third or fourth lowest in the CSU. So
maybe even second.
maybe.
Last time I looked.
If you account for enrollment deposits, which we don't really have at the university, we're much lower.
Exactly.
So we're really affordable. The overnight program for those students who decide to spend the night is an additional $45.
Wow, that is very inexpensive.
Yeah. For them to spend the night. At previous universities I've worked at, it was well into the 100, 160, 180.
Yeah, I think the last school I worked at, it was about $200 for the two-day program.
Yeah.
So are you doing the two-day program just for the freshmen coming in, or do the transfers also get to go?
We're doing it just for the freshmen this year.
Okay.
As we're piloting it, we were trying to see in our assessment who showed interest in doing a two-day, and it, Typically, it's the freshmen who show interest in orientation in general.
That makes sense.
It's our second year of being mandatory for transfer students. So for us to do the pilot with the transfer students, and we only do 4 transfer days, it's a much smaller population. Right. It made sense to do it with the freshmen because it's almost double size.
Yeah, now that seems to make a lot of sense to me. And it's great that we're piloting it so we can work out any of the kinks that we have this year. And maybe by next year, if all goes well, we move it for everyone to a day and a half. Now, I do have a bone to pick with you on one thing, Ken.
All right.
And that's commuter programs.
I don't like that word, commuter.
You know how I feel about that word. Off-campus bulldogs. It's not how you get to the campus. It's what you do when you get to the campus. And a lot of people have this misconception that people live hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Actually, 50% of our students live within 10 minutes of the university, and 75% live within 15 minutes, which we all know in Fresno is a hop, skip, and a jump to the university. And a lot of these people who have been labeled as commuters just live across the street. They're just our off-campus bulldogs.
I agree. I think there's been a misnomer in general at the university about how to serve these students. I'm excited about whatever the new program is. I don't know if it's going to be called commuter programs or whatever it might be, but I'm excited to see whatever that
morphs
into.
You're killing me with that
into.
Word.
The off-campus bulldog program.
I love that a lot better, Ken.
I'm excited to see what it can do and how we can partner with them to make sure that these students that were really suiting their needs. Because one of the misconceptions I had was that everyone in Fresno knew about Fresno State. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for the first couple of years that I was in charge of the Dog Days program, the tour was a very minuscule part of the program. We didn't do a lot of tour training, that type of thing, because I think I made the assumption that, oh, you're from Fresno. You know about the campus. You've been here for vintage days or some event or preview day or something. And what we found is, especially parents and guests and all of them, really wanted the tour. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we've brought back past couple of years.
But, great idea.
You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where there are a lot of misconceptions about our students, but I think really the off-campus bulldogs, I think that's one of the things that we really need to address, because a lot of the programs really have to be on campus. So it's how do we get them here with more regularity so that they can really take advantage of everything we have to offer.
Sure. I've found the same thing being at other institutions, that sometimes you make an assumption if somebody lives nearby that they've done a lot of things on campus.
Yeah.
For some, it's very true. They have. But for some, it may be selected things. They may have gone to an athletic game or music production, but they've never gotten the full view of the university. So I think that's a wonderful idea. And I'm really glad to see us moving in that direction with the programs. I know there's another very exciting program that we're moving this summer, since I have a little bit of inside information on these things.
All right.
And that's our online orientation program. You want to tell people a little bit about the online?
Yeah. This year, we're doing an online pre-orientation, essentially, that all students will get before they arrive to Dog Days. Mm-hmm. So that their Dog Days new student orientation will be a two-part experience. One will be this online pre-orientation prior to their arrival, and then they'll have their in-person Dog Day. Now, the goal of the online pre-orientation really was to give students more opportunity to hear about all the programs, because in the past, it's been just a one-day program. We have them for 8 hours. And oftentimes, to be perfectly honest, it's information overload for the students.
Oh, absolutely.
By the time we get to the afternoon, students tend to have that deer in the headlights look. They're overwhelmed. It's 105 degrees outside. So we want to make sure that with the online pre-orientation, we give them a lot of the information so that they have time to process it, learn about it, and then when they come to their in-person Dog Days, they're more able to intelligently ask questions about what their transition is going to be like. What is their experience going to be like? We don't have to spend time telling them how to use a registration system, because they'll get that in the online pre-orientation. We can spend that time helping them register for classes instead of having to help them figure out how to navigate the system. So it'll help us introduce the university in a new way. And then when they come to Dog Days, their in-person Dog Days, we can reinforce a lot of the ideas that they've already heard in the online pre-orientation. So it's exciting, and hopefully students will really enjoy it. I mean, we spend a lot of time with the videos and a lot of the programming so that it's really student-friendly, especially those students who are really already geared towards technology and social media, that this will help keep them engaged and give them another way to learn about all the information.
Yeah, very exciting. One of the things that I love about it also, I'm going to put Alex on the spot in a second here, but people don't realize, and I get all the time as a vice president, we have to be at orientation, because if we don't go and speak to the freshmen and transfers, they're never going to get this information. But when they come to orientation, it's an exciting time, but it's also a little nerve-wracking, because they're going from this established community that they've been, whether they're high school students or community college students somewhere else, and there's only so much you can absorb in 8 hours or even a day and a half. And so what I really love that we're doing is they get this information ahead of time, they do the program, And as I understand it also, they have this information on their portal or their computer so they can refer back to it a day later, a week later, a month later. And it kind of keeps them informed on when they're ready to learn something. So they might not even realize, well, I really need to know about something. But I remember Lauren and Alex and Ken talking about this thing. Oh, I know it's on that online orientation. Oh, let me go back there and see what they said. Boom, now you got it.
Yeah, the students will have access to it for months after they leave Fresno State. And, you know, we continue to communicate them through various programs, the Connect program or whatever it might be, to make them aware of it so that if they need to refer back to it at any time, oh, I heard something about class registration and additional search criteria. How do I do that? They can log back in, watch the videos, go through the content. And in the online pre-orientation, they have the ability to customize it. So if there's something that really piques their interest,
right,
they press a little button, and then at the end, it gives them all this information and all these links so that they can follow up with anything that really caught their attention.
Yeah, that's great, because not every student's the same. Some students may gravitate to club sports and certain things. Some may want to be involved through intramurals. Some may be music. Some may want all of the above. So, all right, Alex, I'm going to put you on the spot. You're the only student here. Ken's far from being a student here. Lauren, not so far. She's just finishing up her graduate program not too long ago here in the HEAL program. We're proud of her. And now she's one of our staff just recently. So tell us, what do you think the students are ready for when they come to that one day or one and a half day orientation? What do you think are the top things? I have my bias on what they're ready for, but I kind of like to hear yours.
I think they're ready to hear the information about class registration. Students want to hear a lot about, that's a primary concern for students. Mm-hmm. How do I learn about my class schedule? But I also think a lot of students want to make sure that Fresno State is the right fit for them, that they made mm-hmm. the right choice when they accepted their admission to the university. And I think that that's one of the great opportunities for the orientation leaders is to be that voice of Fresno State. We get to represent our university. We take a lot of pride in that. And we get to let them know that, you know, you are here. This is going to be your home. And you get to be a part of this campus for however long you're here. And you made the right choice. So a lot of students, we get to confirm that choice that they made. And there's a lot of excitement that we get to be a part of. We feed off of their excitement, their energy level. It inspires us. It helps us to do our work.
Yeah, I'm sure sometimes you might even have a flashback to when you were a first-year student. Did you come here as a freshman or a transfer?
I came here as a transfer, and I remember my orientation. I wasn't sure I wanted to go to orientation because mm-hmm. I had a brother who had already come here. My parents had been Fresno yeah. State students, so I thought, oh, I'm pretty set. But once I came here and went through my orientation process, I was like, thank goodness I did come. Mm-hmm. Because I learned so much
right.
about the campus, more about my major. And then I also just learned that there's a community here of people who are dedicated to serving my needs and mm-hmm. as far as making sure that I'm as successful as I can be, not just while I'm here on the campus as mm-hmm. a student, but as a professional later on.
Right.
And I thought that was inspiring.
That's great. That's great. And I agree with both of yours. I have a couple other pet peeves. I mean, you know, the fit for sure. I want to get my class schedule. Absolutely agree with you that I also want to make sure Fresno State really was the right place for me. And I think probably the other thing for me is, are there people around me here that I'm going to connect with, I'm going to fit with? Do I see people who could be my friends, both in my major, my college, or anywhere around the university? Because, you know, you're now transitioning in all your social network. Now you're going to keep in touch with them. You might tweet or you might do some other things, but now this is your new peer group. Mm-hmm. And so I think that whole notion of that connection that we talked and that sense of belonging in this new community is so very important for our students.
Yeah, it really is, because you're going to connect with your orientation leader. But like I said earlier, we're facilitators. We want to make sure that the students are engaging with each other. It's great if you make that connection with your orientation leader. We'll be there to support you in our office later on. You can give us a phone call. We have our Freshman Connect program, which is an email service we provide. But really, we want to make sure that you're getting to know the student who you're going to be sitting next to for the next 4 years. You're going to see these people often, and maybe you may change a major. So let's make sure that you're comfortable with all types of students. We're going to highlight diversity. We're going to do lots of things that make sure that you know the campus and the Bulldogs that you're going to be here with.
That's great. And I love how we're moving in the 1.5 day program, because even though there is no silver bullet to what students need to learn at orientation, exposing them to more of the co-curricular aspects and also some of the offices they'll have to engage with throughout their career development, let's say for internships and later a job and resume writing, the counseling center if they have a tough go of it at some point and they need to talk to somebody, our health center and other areas. They're all important things that when things are going either well or you have some difficulty, you want to know how to access them. So very good. So let me shift a little bit to a few of the exciting programs in addition to the ones you've talked about that I know are happening. Some have been in place for a bit. And I want to talk about three programs at this point. One is the veterans program that we do and what we're doing with the veterans program. And then one of the things that I just think is fantastic, particularly for the parents, is the programs that we do for Hmong students and our Latino Latina students, particularly for their parents, being, you know, I'm Latino background and my parents, you know, had some English, but they would have loved to come to my orientation and hear it in their language because it would have been much easier for them, although obviously they spoke some English. So let's start with the veterans program and then move from there. So tell me a little bit about our veterans program.
It's our third year having the veterans program here on campus. Initially, it started because we saw a lot more veteran students coming and matriculating to the university, and we wanted to make sure that we could serve their needs, really expose them to the programs that we have on campus that support veterans, along with other community resources. We have Fresno County Veterans, My Healthy Vet, the VA. They all come to help aid these students in their transition. This is our third year, and this year I'm hoping will be our more successful. Normally, we've had one day in the past. This year, we're having two veteran orientations because the Student Support Services Veterans Program has really helped us to take some of the weight of promotion and reaching out to veteran students, which we haven't always had the opportunity to do.
Right.
And so having another collaborator, we're really hoping that veterans program will be even more successful because they're all former vet. They really know what the students are looking for, and it really exposes the students to people who know what they're going through. Rather than myself, I wasn't a veteran, and my father was a veteran, but it really allows our students to connect with someone who they really have something in common with.
Well, that's great. For those who don't know, we have a veterans program in our disability services area. We just got a grant this past year on that. We have our TRIO program also got another grant this past year. And we've been doing things out of enrollment management where we have staff there that help veterans transition when they enroll. And also in academic affairs under Dean Moore, there's a lot of programs prior to students coming to the university to help them to make that transition from being a veteran to coming to the university.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the program we do for the Hmong and Latino Latina. I'm assuming we started that mostly because it was for parents, because our students have gone through K-12 system in English and have had to graduate or are transfers. So tell us a little bit more about that program.
Yeah,
those programs.
Both programs are targeted toward the family members, both our Spanish family program and our Hmong family program. The Spanish family program, it's our fourth year doing it. And I had a similar experience than you. My in-laws speak only Spanish. They don't speak any English. So it wasn't until I was trying to communicate over the dinner table that I realized if I'm having this difficulty for them coming to orientation and to be able to properly support their students, we needed to support them.
Right.
So we do the program. It's concurrent with our English family program. It's the whole day. It's entirely in Spanish, Spanish-speaking presenters and staff that we hire. So we're going into our fourth year of that one. So we're really excited because it's really started to grow without us having to nudge it along. It's really just started to grow on its
own.
Our Hmong family program, we piloted it last year. We had three days where we piloted, and the support from the community has been tremendous. A lot of our families, even though there was one family said this is where for the fourth child at Fresno State, had never set foot on campus.
Wow.
Because even though it's a huge population, that Southeast Asian population, there's not a lot of services on campus targeted towards Hmong Southeast Asian students. So when they heard we were doing something, I mean, everyone on campus who is of Hmong descent, staff, faculty, I mean, everyone really put a lot in to really support it. So this year, with all that support and with all that kind of getting the ball rolling, we're doing it on every day now.
That's
so every day there'll be a Hmong family
fantastic.
Program.
You know, I know that I've spoken to members of the Hmong community and they're very, very pleased that we are able to do this. And from my past experience, I think it was my first fall here, that at that point in time, about 40% of our Asian Pacific Islander students were of Hmong background.
Yes.
So 40% is a very large population. And as you know, our Latino Latina population has been growing. We're probably, 55% or more at this point. Every day it's growing a little bit more. So those are two really important programs that I think are probably very, very well received, not only by a number of community members, but those families, because it really allows the mom and dad. We had a Spanish in my last university because we had a lot of Latino, Latina students, and we used to get moms, dads, grandmothers, uncles, aunts. I mean, you know, everybody and their brother wanted to be part of that new experience, particularly if this was a first generation college student, because it was just so important.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. I'm guessing there are not a whole lot of programs in Hmong across the country for orientation.
No, we found some, especially within California, of other Asian populations, of Vietnamese. I think Fullerton has a Chinese, I think maybe. But Hmong, there's not a lot. I mean, I haven't checked in all of Minnesota. There might be one over there.
Right, right.
But really, there's not a lot. So we're really breaking new ground here.
Well, great. That's awesome. Well, thanks, Ken. I appreciate that. The last thing I'll mention on the air, we talked about fees a little earlier. I know this past year, one of the things that we've done is for all students with zero parental contribution on their financial aid, those fees are all being put on their bill for the fall where their financial aid kicks in and helps them to pay for things. So that's going to make things a lot easier from what I understand. And I know we've given out lots of grants for those students who just have difficulty in paying for their fee. It's just another way where we provide access and opportunity to our students who have more difficult financial situation. Anything else you want to say on that, Ken?
So far this year, over 1,200 students have taken advantage of that. So it's a huge number.
That's great. So these are all students that would be very difficult for them to find those funds very quickly in order to finalize their registration with the university, their enrollment here at Fresno State. So with that, I want to thank the three of you. It's great to see Ken. Nice to meet you, Alex and Lauren. I've seen around a lot on campus the last few years. Really appreciate all that you do for Fresno State, for the Division of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, and particularly for our students. And I'm looking forward to being at Dog Days to see all of you and our new students and meet all the new orientation leaders. I've already met a bunch of them as I walk around campus. They go, hey, Dr. Lamas, I'm going to be an orientation leader this summer. So I'm looking forward to talking to all them and for all that they do to help give our students a sense of belonging here on campus, involve and engage them. Thank you so very much. So with that, I'm going to close the program. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10:30 for another Fresno State Student Spotlight on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight every Sunday morning at 10:30. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.